We're going to look at Mark chapter 1, of course, verses 1 through 15. And then the worksheet that you have, if you have that, it's different than normal. It's longer. But I'm praying with all my might that this won't be a fire hose of information, but just something that would be very helpful for you. And again, just a little brief introduction on Mark. You know, Mark, that's John Mark in the Bible. That's who went on the first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. And partway through that journey, he left them and went back home. So then in Acts 15, when Paul and Barnabas are ready to go to their next missionary journey, Barnabas wants to bring John. And Paul's like, no way, Jose. And I say that half joking, but Barnabas' real name was Josie, so maybe his nickname was Jose, I don't know. But they had, as you know, they're in Acts 15, they had such a strong contention that they split up. And Paul took Silas and Barnabas took Mark, John Mark. And what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good, because it just doubled the missionary team. So, and with the redemption part of it, you get later in Paul's life, he's writing in 2 Timothy, and he says, send Mark to me. He's helpful for me in the ministry. So God works everything out, you know. And but that's the Mark we're talking about here. Also, when James, the brother of John, was killed in Acts 12, and then Herod sees that this pleases the Jewish leaders, he has Peter arrested. He's going to kill him. And you know that story where the angel comes and rescues Peter. And when he's rescued, he goes to the house of John Mark's mom to let him know that he's okay. And speaking of Peter, many believe that the Gospel of Mark is Peter's account of Jesus' life down here. And he shared it with Mark and Mark wrote it. So, and it kind of fits because Mark is very short and very boom, boom, boom. It just goes from one scene to the next. And the word immediately is used like 37 times in Mark. Doesn't that sound like Peter to you? And so, okay. So that being said, what else? Oh, just they say, and I see this, I'm still learning the depths of it, but each gospel, Matthew focuses on Jesus as the King of the Jews. Mark focuses on Jesus, the servant. Luke focuses on Jesus, the human being, the man. And John focuses on Jesus, the Son of God, or God the Son. And you definitely see this in all of the introductions and this genealogies, if you will, because Matthew starts with a genealogy going all the way back to Abraham and then to David, and then, you know, and that's a very Jewish thing. And I'll jump to Luke. Luke, his genealogy is in like chapter 3, and that's more like the physical genealogy of Jesus, how he's directly, you know, from his mom, you know, going back his mom's lineage. And then John, of course, the only genealogy we have is in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it goes back before the beginning of the earth and of human beings. And then Mark sees Jesus as a servant, and servants don't have any pedigree. So there's no genealogy. It just jumps right into the story. So I think those are very interesting points that someone came up with. So what we're going to do is read together. I'll read. We're not going to do a reading again, but I'm going to read through verses 1 through 15, and then we'll make some comments. And then on our worksheet, there were just two things that are mentioned here in this text that I really wanted to focus on. So this is, again, not really a typical message even for me, because we definitely believe in the verse-by-verse teaching, which is what we're kind of doing, but I kind of slipped in kind of a topical message within the verse by verse, because there's two things I really want to talk about today. Repentance, what does it mean to repent? And what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? So, Lord, again, we just ask for your presence and just your favor, Lord, as we go through your word, that it be rightly divided and that each of us would receive from you the rhema word or words that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, okay, Mark 1:1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptist, came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Thousands of people, thousands and thousands of people. Verse 6, now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Verse 14, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So there you have it. You got the introduction to John, just right into John the Baptist, right? And the prophecy there, quoting from Malachi and from Isaiah about the person that would be the forerunner for the Messiah, and that would be John the Baptist. And both he and Jesus have the same message as repent, and we're going to talk about that really soon here. But again, it says, the verse 1 says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the verse 15, Jesus says, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. So last week we talked a lot about we finished, you know, Matthew, where, you know, make disciples of all nations and teaching them everything I've commanded you, all authorities with you, and all that. And so we just want to quickly talk about what the gospel is, because people will be listening to this on the website or anyone in the room. I don't know if everyone in the room is born again, but the gospel is simply this. Paul says in Romans 10, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved, right? So there could be the sinner's prayer. It could be the, you know, what was it? Golly, again, this age thing I'm really getting used to in these simple terms, but the tract, the four spiritual laws, that was a Campus Crusade tract, you know, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And that works for some, you know, but all of them spell out the gospel. You know, Ray Comfort, if you've heard of him, he kind of goes more of a, you know, he wrote a book called Hell's Best Kept Secret. So he doesn't pull punches. He basically goes to people and says, do you consider yourself a good person? And they say, yeah, well, have you ever told a lie? He just kind of takes them through this thing to show them their sin. I guess the best way I can summarize this is there are just different ways to come to the Lord. It's the same God, same Spirit working. The book of Jude, verse 22 and 23 are part of that verse, says that simply this, on some have compassion, making a distinction. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. My wife was saved through compassion, no doubt about it. I was saved through fear. I was 15 years old, had never been to church in my life, believed in God, was just flipping channels. And I know, hard to believe, a TV preacher, but he was just preaching to the camera, and he was preaching hellfire, but he was just quoting Jesus. If you didn't know this, the person that speaks the most about hell in the Bible is Jesus. The same one that says of him that they marveled at the gracious words that flowed out of his mouth. He talks about hell more than anyone. In fact, in this book, when we get to chapter 9, he really spells it out. So I say reverently, and I don't mean this as a joke, but on that day whatever day that was, I was 15 years old. I got the hell scared into me. But from that point on, my life changed. I learned about the loving grace of God, and it hasn't been the same since. So I'm so thankful. So the gospel is to call on the Lord to realize, you know, you're God, I'm not. Heaven and hell are real. I know I'm sinful. Please save me. No magic words, right? It's just the heart. Will you please save me? And the best I know how, I'll follow you as Lord. And so let's get down to what does it mean to repent? Because that was John's, one more thing. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. When we get baptized after we get saved, that's not the same baptism. His baptism was come and confess your sins, and he's baptizing people and preparing them to believe in Jesus. In fact, in Acts 19, Paul says that John was telling the people that they need to believe in Jesus who would come after him. But what's interesting, Mark doesn't cover it here because he just goes boom, boom, boom. But you probably know this. In another one of the Gospels, Jesus comes to John to be baptized, a baptism of repentance. And right, what's John the Baptist's response? You come to me. I need to be baptized by you, right? And why is he saying that? Because he knows that he's a sinner, John the Baptist, and he knows that his relative, his cousin, is not. And Jesus says, allow it to be so for now, for this is for us to fulfill all righteousness. What does that mean? Jesus, it says in Romans that he came in the likeness of sinful flesh and sinful man. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. He was a man, a human, just like every one of us. But he did not have a sin nature. He was just like Adam and Eve before they fell, right? But he's the Son of God. But he had to rely on God the same way we do. When he was tempted, he quoted scripture to get the devil to flee, right? And so he came. So to be baptized, he was just saying, I'm coming to identify with sinners. But the point of that baptism, when you're baptized as a believer, you're representing what happened to him on the cross and you with him. As Paul would say, I was crucified with Christ. You go and you confess Jesus. You're already saved. It's just a reflection of what's already happened to you. When you go down in the water, you are now dead to sin. Your sins are all buried right in the depths of the sea. And when you come up, it's his resurrection. It's our resurrection, the newness of life that Romans 8 talks about. We have a new life and a new nature. We still carry about this body of death, and we still sin. But okay, that's enough of that. We're going to get through our worksheet, and we're going to make good time because I'm just going to kind of read it, make a few points, and you can fill in the blanks. So what does repent mean? What does repent mean? Well, I don't want this to be a technical study, but it says here, comes from the Greek word, it's there on your sheet, metanoia. Metanoia, which means to perceive afterwards, and the word there is change, to change one's mind or purpose. So meta means after, and noia means to perceive. So it's, you know, the best example of that I can think of is right below that is the verse from Psalm 119. The psalmist says, I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. That's repentance. I realize I'm off, I need to get right, and I need to change the direction, right? Repentance is a U-turn that the Lord offers. And we'll go on, because we're going to talk about what that means to us as believers as well. So just below that, at one time we thought of, just another verse. This is Paul's change of mind. I love this. This is in 2 Corinthians 5:16. He says, at one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Think of Paul persecuting the church, you know, Jesus having to come and say, why are you persecuting me? He hated Jesus, whether he knew it or not. He hated Jesus. And just like all of us, we're enemies. We are enmity and enemies of God. But his graciousness drew us to him. And so Paul says how differently we think of him now. A change of thought, right, in repentance. And then from there, repentance is a change of mind that leads to action, right? A change of mind that leads to action. John the Baptist, below that, Matthew 3:8, therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. It says, bear fruits worthy of repentance. I remember someone telling me that, you know, if we just confess our sins and we don't change, we're really just announcing our sins. Repentance is making the change. But again, it's impossible for all of us. We're going to get, hopefully right away, to the grace part. We want the messages to be full of grace, because Peter says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Paul says to Timothy, be strong in the grace of God. God loves everyone in the room. And if you have said yes to him, he says he'll complete the work he began in you. And so picking up from there, repentance. It's change of mind that leads to action. And the repentance is turning to God and away from sin. Below that is a quote from the prodigal son, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. That's turning from sin, right? And then I love this, Acts 20:21, the verse below that, part of the verse, the last part of the verse, Paul says he's testifying, I'm testifying to Jews and also the Greeks, that means non-Jews, so that means the Jews and the rest of us, if we're not Jewish, I'm testifying to them, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love that, because honestly, even people I respect, they say, repent of your sins and come to the Lord. Repent of your sins and come to the Lord. And I think that's almost backwards, because yes, we can be sorrowful for our sins, but the repentance is the change. And I can't change. Can you guys change? Don't shout out, on your own. We need the Lord. So it's coming to him. And I love that verse. It's because repentance is, again, a U-turn. He offers a U-turn, and it's anytime we need it. And it's just right back to him and his loving arms. So I love that verse. Also, repentance is a gift from God. Because we think of repent, it seems so heavy. And again, I've got to change. And it just doesn't, it's the cart before the horse to think of it that way. So repentance is a gift from God. And here's a proof text. Paul's writing to Timothy there in 2 Timothy and just talking about what makes a good teacher and blah, blah, blah. And he says, in humility, the teacher needs correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. The word is grant. And what does grant mean? It's a gift. So it's a gift. And there's another verse that says the same in there. Again, it's God's, I use this little highway. It's called Highway 30, the right out here. You're going somewhere, you realize I'm going the wrong way. And there aren't many places that they allow a U-turn. They've even blocked a lot of places where you can make a left turn to get on the place because of the crashes that happen. But please, just somewhere where I can make a U-turn. And when you find one, you're like, yes, I can turn things around. And that's what this is for an unbeliever, and this is what it is for us as believers. And that's our last point here on repentance. Repentance for the Christian is to put off and put on. And what that means, Paul talks about, I just gave the references there, Ephesians 4:20-32 and Colossians 3:18-8-17. And in both places, he talks about how we need to put off certain inappropriate behavior and then put on what's appropriate behavior. Put off lying, he says in Ephesians. But here's the concept. We all sin. So in that sense, we're all sinners. We're not unbelievers, but we all still have a sin nature. Paul talks about the body of death that he carries around. Our spirits are redeemed. If you've said yes to Jesus, you've been born again. And we'll talk about what this happens with the spirit in our next session here. On our sheet. I think we're doing okay on time. So you're saved. And so though you have a sin nature, that's not who you really are. Who you really are is that born again, that spirit that's what it means to be born again, to have eternal life doesn't just mean you're going to live forever. It does mean that, but it means you've been connected to the eternal one. That's what it means to be born again or born of the spirit, because we are made body, soul, and spirit. If you think of three circles like a snowman, in the garden before they fell, it was the spirit was ruling. And the flesh, wasn't ruling. Spirit, soul, body. when they sinned, it got inverted. And that's what we struggle with, even as believers, because the flesh and the spirit are at war for the control of our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Paul talks about, I don't have any sheep. And you could jot down Galatians 5:16, where he talks about in that passage, you know, if you walk in the spirit, you won't satisfy the deeds of the flesh. And he goes on to talk about this wonderful war that we live in our own bodies. The spirit, the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. And they're at odds with each other. So you don't do the things you want. Oh, great. And I take that to mean when I want to do good, like Paul says, I'm not. Or when I want to be carnal some way, too much of the, you ever heard this before? Too much of the Lord in you to enjoy the world, or too much of the world in you to, and too much of the, or yeah, or too much of the world in you to enjoy the Lord. So, you know, the Lord, he loves us. He's patient, but you know, thank the Lord, thank him. He's going to have his own way with us. I love how even in the Old Testament, you know, they say circumcise the foreskin of your heart, you know, because that's a symbolic thing of how we need to soften our hearts toward the Lord. But then later in Deuteronomy, I can't give you the exact address, the Lord says, I will circumcise the foreskin of your heart. I'll do it for you. That's the gospel. That's what's so beautiful about it. So for us, it's put off and put on. So again, simply put, it's like garments, because there's a new us. The new us is born again and saved and on our way to heaven. And we are, our identity is, I'm a child of God. I'm not a son of Adam anymore, right? Neither are you. If your biological dad's name Adam, I'll give you that. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm a son of God, and you're a daughter of God, sons and daughters of God. That's who we really are. And so when we sin, and we, even if it's something that we struggle with, or whatever, and we just kind of feel like, Lord, I'm sorry, this is just who I am. He says, no, that's who you were. Even if it happened yesterday or earlier today, that's who you were. Put it off like a garment and put on who you really are. I like to give the example of your work. I don't know if they have Hy-Vees up in Minnesota, but okay, so, or do they have Fairway up there? Okay, well, what's another grocery store up there? Sorry. Cub Foods, thank you. The hearing aid's here for a reason. It doesn't work. So if you used to work for Hy-Vee and now you got a new job at Cub Foods and you showed up at Cub Foods with your Hy-Vee garb on, they'd be going like, what are you doing? Well, my other one was dirty. This is comfortable. Like, no, this doesn't represent us well. You know, this isn't who you are. And even in Ephesians 6, he talks about Ephesians 5. He talks about different behavior that's not fitting for saints. So again, it's just it's who we really are. And so we're saved, it's washed away. And on the grace side of it, I remember having a thought, like a jealous thought, a jealousy about something. And this was a couple of years ago. I mean, not that it's been that long since I felt jealous, but I'm just thinking of this specific instance, something that I was envious of someone else. And I just, oh Lord, forgive me. And I didn't hear his voice, but it just felt in my mind. He said, it's okay. That's always there. Just put it off. Because again, like Paul, if you know Romans 7, he says, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do. And he finishes that chapter with, oh, what a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And that's what we carry about with us. But as believers, the Lord says, you know, every moment is a chance to start over as a Christian. So just put that off. That's the old you. That's not you. Paul even says that in Romans 7. It's not me doing this. It's sin in me. And I'm thinking, is this some kind of Flip Wilson reference? The devil made me do it, you know? But no, it's the truth, the true Paul, the true you, the true me that's saved, that knows the Lord. That's not who we are. So I think I've beaten that one enough at that point. Okay, and so you see in our text where John says in verse 8, I indeed baptized you with water, but he, it's Jesus, you know, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So, you know, what does this mean? You know, and I don't know how long you guys have been with Calvary Chapel, but, the joke would be that the Baptists would say we're Pentecostal and the Pentecostals would say we're Baptists. So kind of right down the middle, you know, and we believe in the gifts are for today. And even as a Calvary Chapel pastor, I consider myself maybe more mild, maybe more, if you've seen Jesus Revolution, kind of like how Pastor Chuck, that's true. I've heard that with Lonnie Frisbee, they had to kind of tame things down a bit. But on the other hand, we saw another DVD about Lonnie Frisbee. My wife tells me, make sure you slow down so I can realize I'm not doing that. And Lonnie, I tend to believe it because God really used him as an evangelist, but where someone was blind and he prayed for them and they were healed. Regardless of all that, what does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? The first thing, it's not really on your sheet, the baptized or the filling. Jesus says in Acts 1, you'll be filled, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. It doesn't say it there. But there's other places where it talks about the baptism of the Spirit. But then in Acts 2, when it happens, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So we can argue that we can use those words interchangeably. So looking at our sheet here, what is the baptism or filling? When you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit. He came inside you. And then some proof verses there, Ephesians 1:13. In him you also, this Jesus, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Saying that it goes on to say he's the guarantee of our redemption. When the Lord comes back, or when the resurrection happens, if you're dead already, that the guarantee that your body is going to be a new body like Jesus. So he comes in and we're sealed. He puts his stamp of ownership on us by giving us the Holy Spirit. The next verse below there is 1 Corinthians 6:19. Paul says to the Corinthians, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Did I give you the word sealed, right? You got sealed on the other one. So the Holy Spirit is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, right? So that's proof that the Holy Spirit is in us as believers. David would say in Psalm 51, take not your Holy Spirit from me. God would do that in the Old Testament. That was his prerogative. But with the gospel, the new covenant, you get saved. He comes in never to leave you nor forsake you. So again, the Holy Spirit comes in you. The next section, the second page, I think on yours is on mine, says the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Spirit overflows you. He comes upon you. So he comes in you when you're saved. He comes upon you for his glory, for his acts of service, whatever he wants to do through us. Like I say, I've heard a pastor say this, and I say amen. It takes more, Holy Spirit power to help my wife with the dishes than it does to, preach a sermon or to speak in tongues or whatever. So, we want the gifts of the Spirit, but we for sure want the fruit of the Spirit. But he comes into us, he comes upon us. And these next two verses show that this can happen the time you get saved, the moment you get saved, or it can happen sometime after. The first verse here, it's in context, it's Acts 10, where this Gentile centurion named Cornelius, he is what they call a God-fearer. He's following the Jewish God. He wants to know God. So God meets him where he's at, has an angel come to him. And the angel says, ask for Simon Peter. He's staying at this place. And at the same time, Peter's having this vision of this sheet coming down with all these unclean animals, and the Lord says to Peter, rise, kill, and eat. And classic Peter, he says those words, not so, Lord. So that doesn't go, no way, boss. That doesn't go. But he takes him through that to convince him that, because Jesus says, or the Holy Spirit, Jesus says to Peter, don't call anything unclean that I've cleansed. And then he gets it when these Cornelius's guy come and ask him to come meet him. And he goes and he, And Cornelius is really excited for this meeting. He's got family and friends there. And so Peter, this is Acts 10, he's preaching the gospel to them. He gets about 10 verses into it. And then just in the middle of his message, the Holy Spirit comes upon these guys. I guess that's where we are. I should read it. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon, that's your word, upon, all those who heard the word. And it goes on to say that they were speaking in tongues and glorifying God. And then Peter says, I guess we should baptize them in water. This is legit, And then in chapter 11 of Acts, he gets called on the carpet by the Jewish Christians and he explains the whole thing. And they're like, oh, that's where the other verses were about it being a gift. That they say at the end, you can look at the end of On Your Own Time, Acts 11, they say, oh, then even the God has even granted for the Gentiles repentance. Again, this gift of repentance. So that was someone who got filled as they were getting saved. This next example below that is someone that was already saved but was not filled with the Spirit. They had the Spirit. And this is Acts 19. He, that is Paul, said to them, some disciples that he found, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they were believers. So they said to him, we have not so much as heard, that's your word, heard, whether there is a Holy Spirit. And then Paul goes on and explains to them, well, what baptism did you do? And they say the baptism of John. And he explained, said, yeah, that was about coming to believe in Jesus. Anyway, so he baptized them in the name of the Lord. And then when he laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon those guys. It says there were like 12 guys. So the key with the baptism of the Spirit are the prepositions. That's below that. I have with, in, and upon. So the Holy Spirit is God, right? He is, as they say, the agent of the Godhead that's working with the church right now. He dwells in us. He's with everybody, right? He's with the unbeliever. He's trying to woo them to come to Jesus. So he's with the unbeliever. He comes in us when we become a Christian, we get saved. And then he comes upon us when he fills us. And it's important to say, it's not just a one-time thing. I guess we're going to get to that. Yeah, we'll get to that. So John 14:17, Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit, says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, there's the with, and he will be in you. So he's saying this to the 12, the night before he's going to be crucified. The next verse, and when he had said this, this is after he's crucified, John 20. I mean, after he's risen from the dead. Well, both, right? John 20:22. And when he had said this, by the way, what he had said is, as the Father sends me, I'm sending you. How do you want to go out and serve the Lord? You need the Holy Spirit. As the Father sends me, I'm sending you. And then he breathed on them. Lost my place, forgive me. He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And so, as rightfully argued, if Jesus says to you, receive the Holy Spirit, and I kind of got it wrong saying power for service, because this is, we believe, where they were born again, because he's now risen. Receive the Holy Spirit. So again, if Jesus said that to me and breathed on me, I would believe that I have the Holy Spirit. And so they have the Holy Spirit now in them, but he hasn't come upon them. That's why he tells them to tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power on high. Right? So, and that's the next verse. Well, not that, but Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So again, with the unbeliever, comes inside in the believer, and then comes upon the believer for service. If you read the Old Testament, like Samson, the great exploits he did, the Spirit would come upon him. David, after he was anointed by the prophet, it says the Spirit came upon him from that moment. And David, you know, he himself fought off a bear and a lion and killed them with whatever he had. That had to be the Spirit of the Lord. Another, I didn't put this on here, but a very important, I hope I get it. It's the Zechariah verse, is it chapter 4, where the Lord says, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by human might or power. It's there in Zechariah 4. Someone could check me on that. One of the earlier verses there, but so important to have the power of the Spirit. So here's the thing. We're next on our sheet. If you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, just ask. Just ask. Now, again, maybe you have. I would ask you, though, have you been baptized in the Spirit? And everyone's story is different, just like everyone's salvation story is different, like I said at the beginning. Everyone is different. A couple of examples, like for me, I definitely have asked for the Holy Spirit. So I come up right under there. I put ask, believe, and act. So like, just like salvation, you ask for the Holy Spirit. You, I didn't read the verse. If you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, just ask. And then the verse below it is Luke 11:13. If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so you just need to believe that you've received the Holy Spirit. I don't know when that happened for me, but I do think of a time I didn't get a chance to, really great to start a conversation. I'm bivocational. I'm also a marriage and family therapist. So I've been doing counseling for years and in this, for 20 years, real, I guess, in this, in central Iowa, Des Moines area and up here. And I remember years ago meeting with someone, this guy, and, you know, wrestling through my counseling books to try to help this person that was fairly depressed, but also had the scripture that I was sharing with him. And one time I just shared, yeah, I really just love the Bible. And the person said, yeah, you change when you're reading the Bible. And I just kind of took that as kind of a sign that the Spirit is working through me. And the thing is, just ask for the filling, and we all need to be, we, as they say reverently, he gives free refills, you know, because we do. I like to give an illustration. I did it recently, but if you just have a big glass vase, bigger than that one, even with beautiful flowers, like something you can see through, and you have water in there, that represents the Holy Spirit. It's not about getting more of the Holy Spirit, because he's God. He's a person also. I mean, a personal God, the Spirit. He is in us. It's about him having more of us. So yes, we want to walk in step with him and grow in the fruit of the Spirit. But there's times when we can ask him to fill us. And so when he does, it's like he's already there, but there's an overflow of him. And it just, when you're filled with the Spirit, it gets, other people get splashed by it, if you will. It affects other people. And so that's the idea. But the thing is, so I like to say, ask and believe and then act, because sometimes someone's not even really specifically pausing and asking for the Holy Spirit. They're just taking the next step and the Spirit fills them. And just below that, ask, believe, act is the proof text here, Acts 4, verse 8. So Peter, he's preaching to the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of the Jews that don't understand Jesus. And so they're not for this. They called it the way back then, Christianity. And it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, that's your word filled, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, that's the Sanhedrin. This is the same group of people that Peter was afraid of when he denied Jesus three times, you know, just a week or two previous to this. But now he's bold. And why is he bold? Because of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And finally, just a little bit more on the filling of the Spirit, we'll close. This is from the book of Galatians. This kind of seals it for me. That's not, again, it does, whatever you believe or whatever your language is of, you could say filled with the Spirit or baptized. People don't usually say I'm rebaptized in the Spirit, but it has to do with, again, the Spirit coming upon us and overflowing us really for the benefit of others. But there's also benefit for us too at times, lots of times. But in Galatians, I just feel like it kind of seals the argument that it is something that subsequent to salvation that is offered to the believers. Paul says in Galatians 3, verses 2 and 3, he says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So that's salvation. By the hearing, I heard the gospel and I believed. Yes, that's how I received the Spirit. And he says, are you so foolish? Having begun, that's your word, begun in the Spirit, that's your salvation. Are you now trying to be made perfect in the flesh? See, we need the Holy Spirit the whole way through. And then verse 4 talks about the things they've suffered. And then the last thing here, verse 5, he says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit, that's your word supplies, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by works, the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Again, referring to the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit because it gives us the power to do these miracles. And again, it's the Spirit that empowers us again to follow him step by step and to change our character. But it's a lifelong thing. As we read on in Mark, Jesus is going to meet, or he's already met Andrew and others, but he calls Peter, Simon, and Andrew, and he says to them, I am going to make you become fishers of men. That was a many years process to get to that point. So that's those two things. I guess, again, I hope you understand in just quick summary, repentance is not God saying, clean up your act. It's the Lord saying, come to me, come to me. And that's the start, and he'll do the rest. And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just this wonderful gift. So if you haven't been baptized, if you would like hands laid on you and someone pray for you, I'll be glad to do that. But the main thing is that you don't have to, it doesn't have to be that. If I may, I didn't share the couple little testimonies. Our pastor in California, Pastor Bob, wonderful guy, wonderful Bible teacher. When he was younger, he asked for that. He asked for the baptism of the Spirit. He was waiting. Yes, there are accounts in Acts where people speak in tongues, but that is not the sign that you've been baptized. Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, do all speak in tongues? Do all have this gift? Do all have that gift? Rhetorically, the answer is no. So that's important to know. But our pastor, whatever it was, he just didn't feel like anything had changed in his life. And he was frustrated. He didn't feel like God was hearing him. So he just escaped. He didn't stop becoming a Christian, but he just, forget it. I'm not going to pursue this baptism of the Spirit. And then shortly after that, he started noticing, because he was a TV guy, I like TV, but he noticed that he was reading his Bible a lot more than watching TV, and that was not normal for him. And so he realized that the Spirit had come upon him. And there are other people. Our friend Terry, he got saved, and the same night that he got saved, boom, just, and he's not a woo-woo guy either. I use the term woo-woo. He was not a hyper-charismatic guy, but he had a hyper-charismatic conversion. He was an alcoholic for 50-some years, or whatever, and or many years, and he turned to the Lord finally, and that next morning the Lord just came on him, and anyway, it was quite mighty, and he never touched another drop, by the way, and he ended up becoming an elder in this church. He's in heaven now. That's another example. It's just different. It's just like the Lord says in John chapter 3, the wind blows however it pleases, You can hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. And he says, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So we all have different paths to this. But if you don't know if you have the Holy Spirit, ask someone you know or respect to pray with you, or just yourself. Ask the Lord, fill me, baptize me, and then believe that you've received, and you'll see the fruit. So, Lord, thank you for this, just that you are a personal God, and that Jesus, when you left, you promised you would not leave us as orphans, but you sent the Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. And just ask for anyone here that doesn't know you, that they'll come to know, or anyone listening on the that might listen to this on the website. The simple gospel, just call on the Lord. And then after you have him, just say, fill me, Lord, with your Spirit, and you're good for that, Lord. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.